Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Lucy V. Freeman, Jeff Thomas and Matt Rodriguez-Payne. How in-depth are we going this week, Lucy?
Not that in-depth. Also, this week also may feature my friend Anne, who is staying for the weekend. So she may wander through making a cup of tea or whatever. She's currently
installed in bed,
but she may pop up.
Clattering a teaspoon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
On a cup. Good. I look forward to that. Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
We began the week at the Bull. There was a desperate attempt to bring an element of excitement in the most boring competition in the world, but it wasn't enough. Pickled eggs and lever arch files still won't save it, people. We still don't care. The trouble is, trying to get the idea across of something being spectacularly boring is actually quite boring to listen to. Despite this tedium, Chelsea and Brad appear to have been slightly overinvested in this longest drinker thing, and Chelsea cut half of Neville Booth's hair in a strange attempt to get his date of birth. Kenton hauled his megaphone out of retirement, and even that didn't make it any more exciting. This is one of those storylines that surely we all just want to go, okay, it's enough, it's not working, just stop it, move on, we won't say anything if you don't. Next. An exhausted Clary and Susan were in the dairy worrying about Ed and his Texels. Adam didn't have time to stop and help because it was the anniversary of his mother's death and he needed to have a massive argument with everyone as a tribute. Sadly, the argument never really got off the ground. Alice's cake clearly should have won in their bake-off as it sounded delicious and I wouldn't trust anything Brian had made as I don't believe he washes his hands. Helen wanted to cheer Clary up, so thought she'd be thrilled to hear she was going to Paris and having a well-deserved break, leaving Clary and Susan struggling on making cheese eggs, which sound utterly revolting, like something from the 70s that would have gone in a picnic lunch and sweated away in Tupperware. Someone posted a picture of them on Twitter, and they look as horrid as they sound, particularly the blue cheese ones that look like veiny oval testicles in gold paper. God. Ed and Eddie were touchingly under the impression that the residents of Ambridge were not going to notice 100 sheep suddenly appearing on the outfield, and moving them went as well as could be expected, with Brad screaming in fear every time one went near him. The sheep were having a whale of a time. They hadn't had a day out for ages, so there was no way they were just going to troop obediently to the cricket pitch. They decided to pay their respects to whoever was being buried in St. Stephen's. Then they wanted a souvenir pencil sharpener from Lower Loxley and some crisps from the shop. But Ed kidnapped their children, so they were obliged to go straight to the pitch without passing go. Ed pronounced that he really felt his luck was about to change, to which every listener responded with, oh, your God, yes, it's going to get much, much worse. At Terra Hawk, Rebecca was back. Rebecca! Presumably having taken Valium and several deep breaths before coming in. Natasha was on fine form, over-enunciating wildly and asking whether Rebecca had a sweet tooth and would she like some cake. Helen said she felt liberated, which Pat won't like at all. She much prefers button-down emotional imprisonment and she'll be out with her rook gun accidentally winging Helen as she skips round the yard. The piece in the Echo came out. Susan thought she looked great. Clary thought she looked haggard. Everybody thought Adam looked annoying while he stood and stared at them as they staggered round the dairy under 100 weight of yoghurt. Alice popped in to see her father, who was in his gym jams and breathing heavily, which should have been a sign that she should leave immediately as he was clearly in the middle of something, but instead decided to take his pulse. She told him she was unable to listen to the news at the moment. Yes, I'm not sure Real Housewives of Beverly Hills ever have a news break, does it, Alice? But apart from that, she was very much enjoying spending time with Harry, and that doom-laden bell clanged again. Harry the Hip and Alice were rolling around in the mud in one of the most cringe-making sexy scenes since the infamous Sid and Jolene shower. It was like 70s porn on the radio. Oh, I have fallen. Oh, you have fallen on top of me. We had better get some of that mud off. If we weren't all feeling queasy enough, we then accompanied Harry the Hip to the GP, where Dr. Azra went on and on about his blood test to the extent that I was waiting for her to tell him he was pregnant. Brian suddenly started to be ill as well, now there's a GP in the village. God knows what ailments the entire village have all been nurturing carefully for years. Poor Dr. Azra is going to feel that she's wandered into a plague spot. It turned out that Brian was allergic to Hilda, so he attempted to foist her off on Tony. Tony seemed to regard Hilda as a physical embodiment of his mother spitting in a box. By the end of next week, he'll be sitting in the corner of the sitting room rocking while answering Hilda when he hears her tell him, "He's not good enough, dear. You forgot the dream is," in Peggy's voice. And finally, in one of the most desperate attempts to create a cliffhanger, out of nothing, the end of the longest drinker storyline ended in a power cut. That was it. All the lights went out. Dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum. A week of nothing. Ended in nothing. I am never getting those 6 days back, guys. Is there someone I can claim from? The end.
You don't know that there hasn't been a murder.
A murder? Do you think?
I took the power cut to be, you know, like in one of those Poirots where all the light, you know, well, they're always at a house party playing a murder game, aren't they? And then the lights go out and then there is a murder.
Yes.
So I think Neville has murdered Bert or Bert's murdered Neville.
Okay.
And that was the cliffhanger.
Well, as they're both silent,
it couldn't possibly be nothing, Lucy, after a story of nothing.
After an action-packed week like that, how could they possibly end it like that when nothing happens? Oh, my God.
I know what you mean. It was a bit like one of those when you're doing a play or something with your friends and you know it's just getting no traction at all. So you just go, okay, guys, this isn't working. Let's leave this.
Yeah.
Because I think by about Wednesday, I was more confused than I had been 2 weeks ago about this competition. And I just couldn't really understand why Brad was so upset about it all.
I think with a storyline like that, which should never... It should just never have been allowed in the first place. But assuming they're going with it, you need to at least hear the two protagonists discussing it to find out why it is so emotionally loaded for them.
Yes.
The fact that the two people the most heavily involved are both silent characters. What is point? Honestly.
I think that you've put your finger on the nail of it, Lucy. It seems very discombobulated because we don't know the main... Yes,
no.
We don't know who it's about.
No, no. It's absolutely absurd.
And it's fine.
Absurd.
I don't mind it going
like
on in the background.
I mean, it's like having, you know, Sabrina Thwaite going on Britain's Got Talent. Who cares?
Oh, that would be good. I would. I'd be massively invested in that. Yes, please. That's such a good storyline. Such a good storyline. Write it immediately. Somebody. Kerry. Nala. Somebody. But I don't mind. I'm happy for, I love, you know, that's the point of the Archers, isn't it? You have those little storylines bumbling along in the background, but it just took up so much time this week. And it's mostly because I couldn't really remember what the point of it, where it started.
No, I mean,
didn't it start
either.
On New Year's Eve? I can't remember
something
why
like that.
They
decided
to do it.
It was Lillian's idea. When Lillian was grumpy and separated from Justin, she came up with the idea.
Along with the fashion show.
Yes. I don't know
basically
why. They were having one of their periodical meetings where they all decide that they need to get more people in the bull because otherwise they'll go bankrupt, which they've been steadily saying that for the last sort of
incredible
25
still
years.
Going.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So the person who's been drinking longest at the bull gets a free pint for the rest of his life.
Yeah, every day. Yeah.
Every day. Yeah. I would just make sure that pint is rapidly watered down, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Possibly
just,
with rat poison.
Yeah, exactly. It could be another murder. Or I thought that when Kenton was like, "I've got a brilliant idea," I thought he was going to go, "Well, you're both the winners, but you only get half a pint." You only get half a pint.
Yes, I was thinking that too. But not I still didn't care. I mean, you know,
the few
synapses that were still firing by that time kind of thought, yeah, it could be that. Anyway, look, never mind.
Anyway, look, we've already wasted more time on it than it thoroughly deserves. I was a bit cross with Brad, though, because don't prioritise that. Prioritise your schoolwork, Brad.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, but so that happened. But I loved the sheep. I thought the sheep was a charming episode.
It was very ye olde Archers, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. I think it's funny to that they had to... It was a bit like a sort of a Shaun the Sheep or an Aardman movie, wasn't it? Where they had to hide the sheep in plain sight.
But I don't understand... I mean, lots of villages do let people graze sheep in the graveyard.
Also, because I bet it keeps, one of those...
Because you have to pay to have the graveyard mowed, so just have the sheep instead.
Oh... Oh, okay. Yeah, but there's quite a lot of the sheep, isn't there? Yeah, but when, what harm would they do?
100? None. They just poo
just
a bit,
poos,
but that's fine.
Poos.
Well, that's recycling. That's sustainability.
But also, presumably on the cricket pitch, if no one's playing cricket at the moment, there's...
No.
There must be those... I mean, there's those ye olde laws, aren't there? Like on Shepherd's Bush.
Oh, yeah. You're allowed to where I live. Graze geese or something, yeah.
Sheep, yeah. Lucy. Yeah. It's Shepherd's Bush.
Yeah.
So I think probably... But I mean, you're obviously not. I mean, no one's got any sheep here, so they're not going to put any on there, are there? But didn't people used to come from the country and then put them on Shepherd's Bush before they all went off to market?
Yeah, there are. You can. It's common land means that you can graze.
And there's the whole argument about how because there is no common land anymore, whereas actually all land should be common. There's
this
that
land
thing,
is
isn't there?
Our land.
This land is our land, the green fields of the people. But there is such a good argument for that. I listened to, like, obviously quite a good Radio 4 a documentary about that once.
Yeah.
And we have, there's shocking, there's such a, there's no land, that we have just the tiniest amount of land that belongs to the public in this country.
Yeah.
It's sort of shocking.
Well, it's up when I lived in Essex, there, in Epping Forest, they're trying to return it to how it would have been. They call it wood pasture when the people were able to graze animals on it, because things like the brambles go completely mad because there's no goats or...
A bit like my garden.
You get a couple of goats to clear it. So they were trying to return it to what that would have look like, and they have now started grazing cattle on the forest to try and, because obviously then the cattle manure goes into the soil and all that stuff, so rather than creating this artificial environment, they've realized that you just need to take it back to how it was originally used, and that worked well before we started meddling with it. So yes,
and we're getting bison back in genuinely again.
I know,
another thing I heard on Radio 4 in Kent or somewhere. They're putting bisons around.
Yes.
But I love all that.
Boos. I don't know what the...
Bisonians. I'd love to see a bison. Oh, I'd be a bit scared. But I would love to see one.
Mm. A nice long way through binoculars. I think
basically what's going to happen is someone will obviously notice.
Yeah.
And then they'll go, do you know what?
Yeah.
It's yours. It's the winter.
Yeah.
Fair play. I think Alan
will say, yes, you can use the graveyard.
Put them in the church. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That would be really nice.
I quite like the idea of the poor little sheep heading into the funeral service that would try to get her out of the porch.
I know. I know.
Like, but I want to go in there. Well, you can't. Come along.
It was really funny, all that, wasn't it? It's a shame that no one came out of the church.
Yes.
And then the ewe had to quickly, they wrapped the ewe in a black shroud and put their arm round it. And then
ushered it away.
Oh, she's very upset.
Yeah. Come along, Mum. Let's get you back in the car. Yes.
That would be so funny. Like in Shaun the Sheep, the movie. It's like one of the funniest films you'll ever see. Good. What else happened? Oh, nothing. I liked Brian. No, Lucy. Not true. Brian's tightening chest.
Oh, yes.
That was excellent, I thought.
Yes.
Very good. Because I was like, oh, no, please, please don't be ill.
I like Brian and who says, Uncle Tony will give you.
Yeah. I thought Uncle Tony was vile, considering it's his own mother.
Yeah.
Why should
but that's
Brian
why,
have the...
That's why he's so vile, because he's got such a conflicted relationship with his mother. Anything to do with her makes him kind of twitchy and nervous, and he doesn't want anything to do with it. And, you know, he's just, every interaction he has with her usually ends badly. So he's, you know.
But if I was Brian, I would have said, I mean, you know, I liked the woman, but I'm not related to her. And Jenny's not around anymore.
So there why is, the hell have I got this fucking cat?
Why did he be the default owner?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I would have probably just returned her to the home and let whoever's there
that's
deal
true.
With it.
Yes, yeah.
She's not nice. She's not nice.
No.
But that was a good... Yeah, but no, that's quite... I liked that little saga. That's not me farting, by the way. That's some building work.
Okay.
You can hear that. Okay. Sorry about that.
It was totally you farting. So what do we think is the issue with Harry?
Yeah, that was interesting, actually, wasn't it? Because... I did have to listen back to... Because I thought, oh, did I miss? Because that happened on about Tuesday.
And then we never
the found doctors.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually did listen back because I was like, I must have missed an episode because.
No.
Okay. So, well, I don't know. What do you think? I thought it can't be cancer because we've just had Rob.
Well, a million people said that he's got a painkiller addiction. And that he says there's no pain, but he's registering too high. Something is in his blood is showing up that he's taking too many painkillers.
Oh my God, people are so good.
So that,
they're so clever.
So that will then match up with Alice with the addiction thing.
Oh, right.
This is Kate Lloyd-Jones.
Yeah.
Said, caveat, I've only listened up to Tuesday, but she said,
I think
your excitement about Eve Chilcott might be misplaced, as we've already been told Harry's ex-wife is called Bryony. I'm assuming she is a relative.
Oh, sister.
And her appearance is linked to the mystery health issue. I'm guessing long-term life-limiting disease, e.g. arthritis, hence the hip, rather than immediately terminal, given we've just had a cancer death.
Oh.
She also said, and hats off, Kate Lloyd-Jones, she said, my prediction is that Brian's cough will get worse and he'll get wheezy, causing everyone to worry, but hilariously, he'll turn out to be allergic to Hilda.
Oh, my God, Kate. Oh,
Kate, stand up,
work.
Take a bow. She said, my God, they're also getting their money's worth out of having a doctor again. And what happened about Jim's mole? Yes, quite. Well, we've done all the other boring admin this week. We might as well do Jim's mole while we're at it. Flipping
well,
heck.
Aren't the BBC axing doctors?
It's just going to shuffle it all sideways.
Yeah, so all that, all those medical storylines that they can't now produce, they've just shoved.
Do you think
it's going to start
Casualty? So every episode will start with somebody doing something really dangerous up a tree, and we'll all be trying to work out who's going to get injured and how and when.
I'd love it if it was. Oh my God! Wait till Ed becomes a tree surgeon. Oh, we're all going to be on edge every time he's up that
tree. Ed's going to be wandering around like the Invisible Man, isn't he? Just swathed in bandages and plaster. Permanently.
And Emma's just going to be wandering around swinging her chainsaw.
Yeah, well, Emma springs lightly from branch to branch. Yeah.
Give me a takeaway coffee, Fallon. I can't wait for that. No, I love that there's a doctor in town now.
Yes.
Much more interesting.
She's really nice as well. I really like her.
Really nice. Such a nice doctor. And also, to phone someone up. I mean, Harry was right. Yeah. That just doesn't happen.
No.
But that's because she's a really conscientious person.
And it's a storyline.
Professional.
Line. But she's a very good actress. And she seems to have just kind of fitted straight in. There's
to
no.
The
I don't even go, ooh. Well, no. You know, when there's a new voice, it takes
she
you a second to think,
absolutely.
Who's that? But
she doesn't
do
jar,
that
does she?
No,
no,
not at
there's,
all.
There's no. There's been no settling in process.
No.
She's just straight in.
Yeah.
But, and also to make a scene that just consists of, no, there are some blood test results.
Yeah.
I don't want to know. I know, but it is quite important. I don't care. I don't want to. That went on for probably a third of the episode.
Far longer
to
than
make
it
that come
done.
Alive.
I think that's what
Although I was intrigued. I was like, this is storytelling. When you're like, no, I need to know now.
But then I just forget because then okay, you're not going to tell us. All right, fine then. You know, when people try to say to me, I don't know whether it's bloody mindedness on my part or what, when they go, well, I've got something to tell you, but, you know, I'm not sure I should now. And then you go, okay. And because I don't care. If you want to tell me, tell me. If you don't, be quiet. I'm not interested. I'm not that interested. It's my teasing that. Thing. And I'm just like, I really have to be in the mood for that. And I'm just not most of the time.
Okay, don't worry, darling. If you don't want to tell me that, don't worry, it's fine. Don't worry.
Yeah, but I could tell you that.
No, it's just because they told me not to say. Okay, well, if they told you not to say, you better not say. I know, but it is really important, but I just don't know if I can say. Yeah, okay, if you can't say, just honestly, don't worry about it. It's probably something terrible and I should be getting the information out of a teenage child. Sometimes you're just too tired.
And you also, wanna, and they tell you anyway.
Yeah, of course they do. That's the thing. That's the thing.
They crack like an egg if you do the people slightest who say, pressure.
If people say, I shouldn't really say this. I don't know. If, and it's like, but because you've now said it, you are definitely going to tell me.
And you want to, which is why you raised but it I am in not the first going place.
To, I'm not going to tease that information out of you because life's too short.
And I have some self-respect, so, you know, yeah.
And I have a wash to put on. Yeah. So just spit it out or tell me later. I don't care. Oh, I've always got a wash to put on. There's so much washing lately. I thought there was some good little teasers this week.
Mm.
The Harry stuff. I really, apart from the mud scene, I know, Lucy, why you texted me because you hated it so much. It gave me the shivers, didn't it?
It was just so.
Come down here, you. Ooh.
It was just so awful.
There was a weird thing where they were like, where he said, well, we could go somewhere else, but we mustn't be seen. Or there was some cheesy lines. But in a way, the cheesiness of it also is sort of makes us a little bit more repelled by Harry's character.
Yes. Yeah.
So maybe that was all on purpose.
But there was this bit where she literally went, oh, I have fallen or something. And I was like, really?
Yeah, but it's hard to that's but quite then a change the scene for the radio.
Change the scene. Make falling it something in mud. Else.
Falling in mud on the radio is hard because.
Well, then don't do that. Do something
because
else.
You can't scream. Also, because I was thinking, has she come off the horse? No, they hadn't come off. They were standing by the horses and then you pulled her down. We didn't get enough muddiness. Because I was sort of imagining them naked, covered in icky mud. Weren't you? Yeah,
I wasn't imagining them naked, no.
Well, never. That's sort of surely what we were supposed to imagine. Like you said, like a 70s porn scene.
Yeah.
Oh, give me that riding whip, you. Yeah. Oh, what are you going to do with it? I'm just kidding. It's just really uncomfortable. Yeah. I'm lying on it.
And my hip hurts. It's not about your hip. I don't care about your hip.
I don't
I'm not invested in you enough to care about your hip.
I enjoy a bit of Mills and Boone in my arches occasionally. Oh. It just livens up the week. Honestly, I'd rather have had that than Bert and what's his face.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, that's true. No, at least they
cut half his hair. And then there was like a really convoluted.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I had this really good idea. If I ask him for a photo, he'd have to show me his driving license.
I know.
I was like, how did you get? How did you? What?
I know
he can't
that.
Have given all his vote. He cannot have given 75 years worth of photos to. I mean, what is going on? These people can't be busy if they thought that was a good idea.
I know that Brad and Chelsea are supposed to be lovely and, you know, the Horobins are just such a jolly, lovely family and blah, 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 blah. But sometimes it really stretches the limits of credulity that either of them wouldn't just go, what? No.
Or like.
And leave the room. You know, they are teenage. They are young people. Yeah. They don't care about
lives.
What happens to. You know, they're kind of mildly, patronisingly interested in old people. Go, oh, that's sweet, Grandad. Yeah, well done. Anyway, I'm going now. Bang. And that would be it. You know.
Yes. The God's stakes sake. Aren't high enough.
No.
Even though it would be helpful, wouldn't it, if Bert was in the pub every day away from.
Yes.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, hopefully that week is done. That competition is done now.
God. And as for ending it on a power cut, that's weird. Well. Yeah. Well, like you said, hopefully there was a sodding
dream.
Reason for that.
No. If there's a murder, I will feel exhilarated. I've got a feeling there won't be.
No, I've got a feeling there won't.
You never know. I would have ended it on a sort of power cut and then a scream. at least.
Yes.
To fuel us scream. For the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about Bridge Farm. That was Helen announcing she felt liberated, and actually, it was good that she wanted her photo in the.
Yes, that was all good. I liked all that.
She hasn't mentioned leaving again, which is slightly disappointing, but anyway.
Yes, I know. I knew that. And then I thought, oh, the leaving, was it just because you were going on a weekend to Paris? Very nice.
Yes.
I mean, those tickets are not cheap. Going to see Paris Saint-Germain. Paris Saint-Germain.
But she doesn't spend any money on anything, does she?
True that.
She just doesn't.
It's a very nice treat for the boys.
Yes. They won't appreciate it. But anyway.
And also, any time that she's away and Susan wants to take over, I am always in favour of Susan and hearing Susan and Clary in the dairy slagging Helen off.
I didn't like Susan bossing Clary around.
No, I didn't like that. But I know I didn't mind it because she just wanted to... Just better if I get on with some of the admin.
Yeah.
Some of the marketing.
I'll leave you staggering around under the boxes.
Clary, you can empty that massive vat of yogurt by yourself. I've got some marketing projects.
And Clary
on
just
the
sat
go.
There going, it's heavy. I'm no, tired.
But I think it's funny because Clary just rolls her eyes, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Because she knows
but
Susan
she kept going,
so well.
Susan in the background. Susan every now and again while Susan just ploughed on. But it is, there's something really uncomfortable about that Helen has breezed in and put Adam. Is it because he's a bloke? Is it because he's a relative?
It just feels
is it because,
like,
you know, what are you saying? That they're not capable of.
Yeah, I know. I found that uncomfortable as well because after the 175 years that they've been working in the dairy, of course they're capable of managing themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Just to bring Adam in just to stand over them
when actually he's not doing a qualified job and they are doing a qualified job. He just bloody does picks carrots and they've done standards and the tests and
if
things
you're only going away for the weekend all the business side of it can wait till you're back.
Absolutely ridiculous. That's another nonsensical storyline.
And also it reminded me though that you know when Adam was there before.
Yeah.
Was he standing in for Clary before? I can't quite remember.
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and then actually him and Susan ended up getting on really well, didn't they?
Quite gossipy.
And she went round for dinner at Adam. That was really fun.
Adam and Ian.
And I like the fact he at least took them out for a drink.
Yeah.
But also you need Adam
I
there.
I didn't want whiskey, Susan. Oh, have one. Shut up.
Oh no. Ellen likes it. Done this way, Susan. We've done it forever. No, but I like the fact that Susan's going to try and sort of manipulate Adam into changing the whole structure of the way they work.
So what it is, Adam, is we watch and you show us by packing all of those.
I've started a new social media thing. Because that's the thing, isn't it?
Called Dear Susan's just... Dairy.
Yeah. and they are quite right about cheese eggs. That should not be a thing.
Oh, God.
And
have
I
you
didn't
seen
realise
them?
It actually
honestly,
was a thing.
They look disgusting.
Where you'd buy one thinking it was a white chocolate egg and then you'd bite into it
honestly,
and be
no,
like,
the veiny, what? The veiny ones. You don't want to...
Oh, God. How much do you have to love cheese? I mean, I think if you love cheese, you'd probably buy cheese. But then you could say that
if
about
if it's
chocolate.
Easter and you can't eat chocolate, have a plant or something. Buy a geranium. Buy a
we
rose
used to get
bush, whatever.
A tape sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
You know, you just have just sometimes a mug is nice.
Yes. There we go.
Script you don't
writers.
Have to,
a mug.
Yeah, a mug. Mm. But if you are a mug, you might buy a
cheese egg.
Although, Lucy, maybe we're doing them down. Maybe they're delicious.
I bet they aren't. They don't sound it, do they?
You know, David at the gin.
The thing
palace
is, the word eggy and cheesy are both criticisms. So if you put cheesy and eggy together, it makes something that sounds like a double negative, and that's
the. As I was saying to some people the other day, the combination of cheese and egg genuinely makes me vomit.
Well, it looks like vomit. That's why.
Yeah, it looks like vomit, and it's like quiche. I can't bear that.
Oh, okay.
That sort of cheesy
wobbly
eggy
egg
stuff
pie
mixed together.
My daughter used to call it wobbly egg pie when she was little.
It makes me. Like, what? So it shouldn't be a thing.
No. Matt Rodriguez Payne got very cross with Susan and said he would like to nominate her for Twat of the Week.
No.
Yes, because he doesn't. He's an upholder of the underdog, Matt Rodriguez Payne, and he does not like it. And he also wanted to nominate.
He doesn't like her getting uppity.
No, he also wanted to nominate Harry as Scary Weirdo of the Week. But yes, I can completely see that. Yes.
I feel fine, Doc. Yes. I feel absolutely super. I've never felt so. Yeah, I know, but
and anyway, I'm going to run out the surgery really, really quickly now before you can tell me what it is so that we have to spin this out for another episode. Goodbye. I was thinking, actually, Clary must be quite tough to work with because of, can you, you know, you come in every morning. How are you, Clary? Well, Susan, not so good. It must be, you know, we've all worked with people like that, where it's just everything is, no matter what's, I used to work with a lady when I was in Sheffield, and every morning, it used to amaze me how she would find something to moan about. And one day, it was the most beautiful, gorgeous summer day. And I came breezing into the office and said, isn't it morning so-and-so? Isn't it a lovely day? She said, yeah, won't last. She said, she was just so desperate to find, and I just looked at her and thought, I'm so glad I'm not you. I'm so glad I'm not in your head. What a miserable way to think.
It always brings the energy down, doesn't it?
And but there was this grim satisfaction in things going wrong, when things went wrong, because it inevitably worked in the hospital, things were always going wrong. And she'd sort of go, well, I could have told you that would happen.
Oh,
I could
God.
See that coming. Oh, yeah, you know, and it was just like, oh, did you? Okay. Like Debbie Downer on Saturday Night Live.
But at least Clary and Susan's woes quite often cross over because they're always to do with the family.
Yes, yeah.
So they have that shared
But Susan sometimes must feel like a little tugboat trying to haul an enormous tanker along
that's,
you know, trailing oil and knackered and broken.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? That's why she feels like she's, you know, she feels like she's prettier than Clary for a start, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I look good. Yeah, you do look a bit haggard, Clary. And then, and she feels like she's a cleverer and all of that. But I think that, so she feels higher status for sure, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But I think Clary, I think Clary doesn't mind though, because she knows Susan so well that it doesn't bother her because ultimately.
Well, Susan's the accelerator and Clary's the brake, isn't she? So between them, they get somewhere. But if they were both like Susan, it would be, they'd be just be hyper. It'd be like a manic dairy with everything, jobs being half done all over the place and you know, new ideas every 2 seconds.
Yeah, the yogurt would never be emptied
and
into
if it was,
a big vat.
No, and if it was two Clary's working together, they'd just be slumped into a corner, asleep and that wouldn't work either. So.
I'm really glad Helen put their names in the paper though. But even that, you sort of think, but they've been working for you for so long. It feels like all those sort of little special things that Helen does for them are just so minuscule.
And patronising.
Because these are, as Helen said, highly skilled workers. Mm. But sometimes it does feel like they're treated
as
though they're sort of low paid.
Yeah, the peasants doffing their caps when the quality goes by, you know. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Steve Parrott said, I've only just caught up with the whole week of Archers, so this is far too late, but I need to get it off my chest. Inside the head of Archers Supremo. Oh, hell, blowed if I can think of something new for 2024. I'll just give the Grundys a kicking. Again. Yes, there is an element of that. And if Ed keeps saying, I've got a feeling my luck's about to change, I'm thinking, please don't have a feeling about that, Ed, please.
No, but I don't think he said it in... I think he said it in the way that... There wasn't enough... Because, you know, like, if they'd put that at the end of this end of the episode, like, you know, I really feel like our luck's about to change. And then it was... But there was a, he sort of, it was quite breezy the way he said it. And I thought, I don't think that is a bad omen.
Okay, okay.
I think, maybe because I might have read ahead, Lucy, that...
people will know.
I know, but it doesn't say what's going to happen. But I do, because they can't keep up the Grundy bashing.
No.
Because we love the Grundys and, you know, and this is the way drama works, isn't it? But I think good things are coming.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Excellent. Good. Yeah. That'll be cheerful.
Cut to Ed's in jail. And
Ed electrocuted at Bull. right.
I took my kids to Les Mis this week, by the way.
Oh, did they like it?
They did like it, but it's... almost 3 hours long, that show, and it was a Tuesday night. It was quite punchy, but I'd also forgotten quite how rude it was with all the prostitute stuff. Fontaine has to cut off her hair and turn to the streets and all that, and my 8-year old didn't really understand, but my 10 year old was like, this is incredible. What an education.
I have so many questions, Mother.
Yes, exactly. I was just thinking of Emma in the future. You know, that, luckily that... No, that would have sort of been the olden days Grundys, wouldn't
yes,
it? I feel like who would have been the Thénardier, the innkeepers? It could have been... No, it would have been Sid and Jolene.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, there was elements of the... Every time I see any sort of drama or... You always make comparisons with the Archers.
Well, you have your stock characters, don't
yes,
you, that
exactly.
make a plot go round.
Exactly.
So, you know. Which I think is what Philip Bailey is complaining about in his ranty email that he has sent us. I know that subsequent events may overtake this rant, he says, but what on earth was that all about? Firstly, Brad going all Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind, pulling an all-nighter with beer mats on the ceiling, a web of red string linking the connections and complex equations scrawled across the window and mirror, all to solve the inscrutable Kenton Jolene theorem. Chelsea going undercover and finding the crucial clue that Neville Sodding Booth is actually 28 years younger than he says. 28 years? Are these people all stupid? Imagine the winning pitch. There's a competition to find out who's the longest-serving patron at the Bull. Gradually, more and more of the Ambridge residents get drawn into the intrigue. The storyline lasts for months, and here's the best bit. It features two silent characters in the starring roles. Exactly, Philip. Then there's, I like this, Posho Chilcot Inquiry. So should we call him Harry the Chilcot Hip Inquiry. Chilcot Inquiry? Yeah. Never liked him from the start, and now he's introducing a nasty Rob Titchener element. The scenes with Dr. Malik were horrible. The entitlement, the taking down, the way he called her doctor, all horribly reminiscent of Rob and his cancer prognosis. Yuck. The bit that made me shout, oh, fuck off, startling my dozing wife, was his attitude to missing an appointment with a GP. They are gold dust. Ordinary people can't get them. But it's okay because Harry the Tosser feels great. Good for you. Now please sod off and take your hip, your horse and your horrid voice with you. Much love, Philip.
Oh, Philip. Oh,
thanks,
dear.
Phil.
Bad week at work,
Philip. Have a cup of tea, Phil. Have a cheese egg. Yes, that was outrageously annoying.
Come on, Doc, I'm feeling great. But yeah.
Not turning up for an appointment.
Oh, yeah, that is...
You deserve beheading for that.
Yes, that's true, actually.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't even clock that. That's bad form.
Yes. Yes.
And there will be a Chilcot Inquiry. There will.
Now, you said last week or a couple of weeks back, you said how much we were talking about continuity and you said they're our friends, we like them, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Michael Gorman finds them completely unbearable.
No.
He said, I am baffled by your liking for the deux en bas continuity announcements bracketing the Archers broadcasts. I listen to the programme on Radio 4 and think the before announcements are borderline patronising and uninformative and the afterwards mostly condescending, especially when they stray into Disney nature programme territory. Uh-oh, Alice is in trouble again. And what a muddle. How will Clary deal with this? Etc. Best wishes, Michael. Very unhappy.
Oh, Lucy.
Well, this is what happens when you have a shit week in the Archers. Everybody gets faintly irritable because we're all waiting for something that doesn't happen.
I have to entirely disagree with Michael. I love their... I don't think they're ever patronising. I think they are just winking at us.
Yes.
Which I very much enjoy.
And I like the fact that they've clearly listened at least to the last 5 seconds to have to make the, you know...
I think it's like having a big warm hug before the show.
It's like, you know, when you have one of those, there's some crackers on Radio 4 Extra at the minute. Inspector West is one of the best.
Is that a good one?
No, it's terrible. It's good because it is so awful.
Oh, good.
It's really dreadful. He's got such a sort of 70s voice. And it's sexist and misogynist and... he's a patronizing character. He's one of the boys. And it's just, you know, it's just awful. It makes me sort of itch. It's so terrible.
Okay, I'm definitely listening.
And there was another one called something about the desert, something of the Sphinx or something. And the continuity announcer, they are so aware of how crap it is. And they go, ooh, sounds like normal low-key weekend for him then, or something like that. It's kind of, they really know it's rubbish. And they're, you know, but they just stay on the right side of, if you listen to it straight, you're like, that's fair enough, fair comment, yes. And then if you listen to it having listened to the show, you're like, oh, yes. I really like it. Anyway.
Yes.
Patricia Johnson has messaged and said, I spent the past few hours gathering extensive evidence and attempting to forge a mathematical calculation to prove which episode was preferable, Thursday or Friday. Thursday's had the benefit of the cast of hundreds of sheep. But what about the late onset feline allergic reaction transition testing? They were both so equally dull. In the end, I had to toss a coin. But
I have to disagree here. This is lovely. It was lovely stuff.
But she did point out that feline allergic reaction testing had the acronym FART, which was amusing. I think you are being wildly optimistic. And I think that they need to have a really good look at themselves at the minute and go, what are you doing?
Are you talking to me?
No. Well, yes, but I mean, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the plot people and saying,
you know,
come along.
Well, look, I think that the trouble is the Bert and Neville storyline, I do think was...
Did somewhat colour the week.
It really did. Mm. And it wasn't very clear. And it was just a bit too... it wasn't interesting enough for us because we couldn't hear Neville and Bert. But
can you imagine any other show?
Imagine if it was on EastEnders. There was a massive storyline, but you never saw the characters. Yeah, but we feel like we know and love them, Lucy. Although every time they say Bert, I can't help but think of Bert.
Yeah, me too.
But anyway, but I think apart from that, there were some really nice things. I actually enjoyed, because I thought the Brian and Alice, when Alice was worrying about him, and I actually thought that was all quite sweet. And then the Hilda stuff was funny, and the allergy was funny, and the Tony stuff was funny. And I actually genuinely loved the sheep episode.
Right. I wouldn't go that far, but yeah, there were Shaun the sheep
Harry
elements
stuff,
of it, which were quite pleasing, as you said.
Although Harry is, you know, it was all a bit cringy, but actually, it's all leading to something. That's the thing, isn't it? Like, we do need these slightly
you always
weeks
hope
where...
things are leading to things, and sometimes they just aren't leading to things. They're not leading to anything.
But we poor Archers. There's so much. They can't. Can't be. It can't be sizzling week after sizzling week, because you have to have that. As we always
at the moment, we're having one sizzling week every 6 months, which is, you know, not enough. Sizzle.
Last week was enjoyable, wasn't it? I'm sure we said it was.
Yes, probably.
I mean, and we are.
Yes, we did.
And if we say
and
it
we
was,
know,
it was.
Yeah. Even James Everett has complaints. He said, "Where are the Brookfield Archers? Ruth, David, and most importantly, Pip." He is writing in his role as sole member of the Pip Archer fan club.
Of course,
he says, "We haven't heard from them since Christmas. We've had enough of the Aldridges and Bridge Farm. Let's hope she can come back with all her Pip ways before it's too late." Suggested storylines: Pip adopts Hilda. Pip runs over Hilda. Pip at the fashion show. Pip becomes the third manager of the dairy. The list could go on and on. He says, yours sincerely, the Pip Archer fan club, manifesting Pip into the Archers.
Members one. But the, you know, Lucy, we're basically turning into feedback.
Oh, God, yes.
That awful show. And so we haven't got anyone on for right to reply.
No,
I feel terrible.
That's true.
I feel like we should have at least one member of production on. For a statement.
As if any of that lot are going to come on the show. Jennifer Cawley has elevated the mood with some mild sheep porn for you.
Oh, good. Come on, bring it on.
Because you were talking about... we were talking about the lambs last week and
eco lambs.
Yes, and adopting them and all that.
Yeah.
So, and also this is bearing in mind your sudden interest in stallion fluffing.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Jennifer wanted to share this with you and said, proper scientific research shows that a good big oxytocin rush helps sheep feel maternal. So to aid a ewe adopting orphan lambs, you need to stimulate the ewe's cervix. You do this by getting long sleeve on, some lube, and thrusting your arm vigorously up and down inside the ewe. You need to look at the expression on the ewe's face to judge when you've done enough. When they curl their lip and look a bit glazed, you slip the lamb in and it's love. Imagine being busy doing this in a lambing shed when some jolly hikers and their children pop in to see the lambs.
Never been graveyard.
Never been so mortified, she said. Anyway, just thought Harriet might be amused.
Oh, that is there so funny. But who was the person who originally came up with that?
What excuse were they giving? No, I was doing it for the lambs. Look how happy they are. Anyway, yes.
Oh, my God. Imagine having to wait for that glazed look.
Come on.
Oh, God. Imagine if Ed had been like, Brad, I've got an idea how we can move her away from the door. How long is your sleeve?
Brad's like, what? Oh, is it the Grundy Code? All right, then. I'll do it.
Oh, that is brilliant information. Thank you.
And in more rudeness, Bryony Thompson has emailed us to say she was because she was talking about funerals and things. And she said this is her great granny. Yes, Granny Jilly, who was an actress called Gillian Goodman, who used to pop up in the Archers. She said nothing more comforting than my Granny Jilly popping into the Ambridge Village shop for a pint of milk and some biscuits. And she said she loves listening to the archives and hearing her voice because she would appear as an extra on the TV in films or, you know, in the Archers and stuff. And in at her funeral, she said, in typical British form, there was barely a peep from the attendees, even those that knew her, to never hesitate in speaking her mind or responding with animated abandon. After many deftly selected pieces of classical and folk music, readings and speeches, we all sat for the final words. In the late 80s, she'd worked with a local BBC radio station as an improvisational comedy singer. She wrote short songs based on that day's news articles. It seemed only fitting then to say our final goodbye with her favourite of the lot, The Angry Ratepayer, a song about a Chesterfield prostitute who steals sex toys from an adult film shop after an altercation with her landlord. As you can imagine, there was finally a collective reaction from our congregation, laughter, tears, singing, and the odd disgruntled Ambridge-style neighbour mouth wide in shock. I will never forget the beauty of that moment, for all to grieve openly, as she lived, in the powerful emotional response to words, even when those words are dildo and that response is laughter. It was a perfectly imperfect farewell. So yes,
granny to have.
I think your funeral needs to reflect who you were. That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah. She said,
if rhyming a word with dildo,
yes,
is, I mean, that is pretty incredible.
That's really difficult. She said, I grew up with the Archers through my mum, Penny, whom I have recently coerced into joining as a listener here. Hi, mum. Hi, Penny.
Oh, hello, Penny.
She says, I'm 25 and wish I'd known when I was a teen that there were other young fans. Being an Archers enthusiast at school is not cool, it turns out.
Yeah, but if your granny's in it, I mean, that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, we need James to find some Gillian Goodson.
Well, she
archive.
Said, actually, if anyone has any archive material from the 80s, then that would be great. She would really love that because it might be stuff that she hasn't heard already.
And is it Gillian Goodson with a G or a J?
Goodman.
Oh, Goodman.
Yeah.
Gillian, with
she
a G.
She said, I have the dates of broadcast for her Archer's appearances from the 80s to noughties, if anyone knows where, if oh. I can access them.
Or if anyone listening knew her.
Yeah.
From the show. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's really cool. Oh, what a lovely email. Thank yes. you. That's brilliant.
Now we're going to do a bit yes. of this.
What the L is happening?
And so do you remember last week's
no
it was the car correspondent of the Borchester Echo had run off with the gardening
yes.
correspondent
yes, yeah, it was
and
funny.
They were both women or whatever it was
yes yeah, that's right
so and I said that it was I thought that that Joe and Bert were trying to heavily influenced the judge. There was some kind of bribery thing going on. Turns yeah. out it was Joe was picked to be the judge of the vegetable competition. And Bert was disappointed not to have been picked. Joe didn't want to place any of Bert's vegetables highly. It was Bert's best flower and produce show. And Joe also disqualified his friend Jim, the prof's onions, thinking they were Bert's. Instead, he had to deal with an angry Jim. After this, Joe decided judging wasn't for him, too complicated. Now, that's the kind of storyline we can get behind.
That's terribly Archers.
Very Archers, flower and produce. So this is this week's. Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, look what I've got for you. Come on. That's it.
Neil!
Oh, wait a second, love. See where the feed's gone?
We're just back from Felfisham.
Oh, yeah. In you go.
Emma's gone straight in the house, but I thought I'd better come here first
go on.
To see what you think.
Right in. It keeps losing a rear tag, this one. I want to fix it before I go to Bridge Farm.
It's a super place for Brice.
Oh, good.
Glass of champagne as soon as we got there. As much coffee as we wanted.
That's it. Now, how did you get on? Oh.
What do you think? You don't like it, do you?
No, it's not that.
I knew you wouldn't.
I do.
I said to Emma, your father won't get it.
It's very nice, Susan.
Honestly?
Yes, only...
What?
It's going to take a little... getting used to.
Well, I suppose that's true.
Yeah, so different.
Well, that's what's so good about it. I was going to be boring and have my normal cut.
Well, that's what you said this morning.
But Fabrice himself persuaded me to be more adventurous.
Did he?
He says my hair's got such body and bones, it'd be a crime not making more of it.
Oh, yes, you've got lovely hair.
And he wouldn't stop talking about my face. The perfect shape for carrying off a much more radical style, he said.
Oh.
Oh, we talked it through with Janine, the stylist who actually worked with me, and, well, this is the result.
Well, it's amazing.
Oh, thank you, love.
Oh, that's classic.
And it's
you
also,
remember that.
It's also lovely because it's totally the reaction of somebody that would normally go to a normal village hairdresser and goes to somewhere swanky and believes all the bullshit.
Oh,
and when you
it's got such body.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They always say to people, it's very, very fine, your hair, but there's a lot of it, which means absolutely nothing.
Do you think it was just a massive 80s bouffant?
Yes.
That he'd done
yeah.
so much hairspray.
All that, what do they call it? A Karen? Is it, they call it a Karen hairstyle? My sister calls it an I want to see the manager hairstyle, where they left like pointy sideburns down the side and they're all sort of swooshed over at the top, like an ice cream swirl. I bet it was like that.
I think I do remember that episode, actually.
I love the idea of her hopping around, though, waiting for him to turn round, and he was busy tiddling around with pig nuts and stuff. So sweet.
That's brilliant.
Yes.
Love that.
Now we're going to cross over to Lower Loxley, where Elizabeth is handling a staffing crisis.
The Thanks so much for giving me your time, Spencer. Although, obviously, I own Lower Loxley, so you have very little choice. But I read somewhere that it's good to treat your staff as if their time is valuable, so I hope you appreciate that.
Yes, thank you, Miss Podster.
Oh, you curtsied. Sweet. Now, I've called you away from your valuable work messing about with spoons and things here in the orangery to discuss the fact that all our staff are being lured away in a very unfair way by Gay Grables offering them better wages and working conditions. So I'm introducing a staff training and development scheme, and you are my first guinea pig, Mark.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Pardita, but it's Spencer, actually.
Is it? Oh, Mark, Spencer, it's all pants, isn't it? So let's think about how we serve people here in the Orangery. What's our key message here, Marks? When people leave, how do we want them to feel?
That they've had a VIP experience?
No, we want them to feel ever so slightly overwhelmed and a little bit small. This is a stately home. Most of them don't even have a drawing room. They've watched Downton. They think that by paying £7 for a scone, they're buying into the lifestyle. And that includes staff that makes them feel as if they've got their shoes on the wrong feet. So let's roleplay this, Scott. I'll be a customer, look, sitting here at the table, eating jam with a spoon and cramming bits of scone into my mouth. Now, wait until I've got a lovely mouthful of scone and come rushing over to ask me if I'm enjoying it. Start off over there, Jason. That's it. Now, I'm eating. Run over, run!
Is everything okay with your meal?
Perfect. You got me when I'd probably have a few dry crumbs stuck, and you made me jump by looming over me when I hadn't seen you. If you get it right, you should have the customer choking with tears streaming down their cheeks. Well done.
I think I get it now. Should I make them feel bad when they order another little pot of jam?
That's it. Stress the word another so they panic they've been greedy.
Okay, I'll make a note of that. Thank you, Mrs. Podgeter.
No problem, Stuart.
It's still Spencer, actually. Some of the other staff members were wondering if you had any plans to offer any incentives to stay, just because at Gay Grables, you know, they're allowed to use a swimming pool and they get free lunches and Oliver drives them about in a golf cart if he's bored and it sounds really fun. Sorry.
Well, Steve, I've been thinking about that. Could you let your little friends know that although we can't offer what Gay Grables is offering, there's a myriad of other opportunities. Myriad means a lot, Sean. We can offer all staff a free safari to look at the feral pigs in the woods that have now become totally wild, as Rex has forgotten all about them. I'd advise full camo gear, though, as they can get very nasty if surprised. Staff are also entitled to a quick trot round the treetop walk, which should be pretty safe, although Kenton did the knots, and you know how well that went last time. And finally, although we aren't able to offer private health care, if any of you are feeling under the weather, do feel free to have a rummage through Freddy's Parker pockets. He's usually got a bit of a pick-me-up in there.
Okay, thank you. And promotion opportunities? Currently, my job is to let the wasps out of coat glasses in the summer, and in the winter I pick up the frozen goose shit. But I am keen to expand my horizons, take on further responsibilities and improve my portfolio of skills offerings.
Are you? Good heavens. Well, as everyone else has left, how does assistant manager sound? Salary, I'm thinking £14 an hour?
Brilliant. I can't do after school Thursdays, though, as I have venture scouts.
Okay, super. Let's go through diaries tomorrow. Well done, Shane. That's been a really productive morning.
Yes, thank you very much, Mrs. Podgeter. I shall look forward to working with you.
Me too. Bye-bye, Sam. Take care. Nice boy. I wonder if he's any good in a tent.
That sounded quite professional, didn't it, that link?
It did actually, Lucy. Handling a what?
Yes.
That was very good.
Sound like Harry and Alice again in the mud. You're handling what, Harry?
You're handling this very badly. I mean...
Oh, give over, I'll do it. Now, it's competition time. Competition time. This week we have... Now, Steve, you're going to start moaning again. You can have whiskey next time, but this week... It is. a bundle of skincare products from the Nutriactive range from...
A bundle of skincare products from the Nutriactive range.
From a company called Seventh Heaven.
Oh, they sound nice.
And they are designed specifically for older skin, 40 plus. So any of you young'uns, give it to your mums.
Not for me then, Lucy.
Not for Harriet, obviously, because she's still got teenage acne. They do things like face masks and hair treats. Yes,
I literally use those all the time.
Really?
And I buy them for the girls. I actually buy them for the girls.
Yeah.
What? So is it the same people that do those face masks?
Yes.
Yeah. They look like packets of sweets.
Yes.
I love them.
Yes. Exactly.
They actually make really good presents.
They make really
for
good
teenage
stocking
girls.
Presents. Yes. 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 And they won the Ageless Beauty Awards. They won the Beauty Awards. They won the Pure Beauty Awards. They went. Yes. Did very well. They're launching vitamin C capsule concentrates and retinol skin renewal capsule concentrates. They look like vitamin things that you would take, but don't take them. You put them on your skin. And they look very, very lovely.
I've seen them. Mm. They do look nice. Actually, I do think because their packaging is so pretty, they do make really good presents.
Yes. So if you are a young and you see, you can
give it to your
enter
mum.
And give it to your mum. Now, the question is, and it's for Patreons, the question is, Patreons, who should Hilda go to and why?
Oh, that's a good question, Lucy.
So who should Hilda Ogden the cat go to and why? I'm not going to say who deserves Hilda Ogden because that's kind of, but anyway, so yes, that is the question. So answers on an email, please, through the Patreon message board thingamy Bobby. You can be in it to win a skincare package.
Lovely.
Yes. And Steve, I'm sure you could benefit from a bit of retinol skin renewal as well.
Retinol is absolutely miracle working.
It is. It's the key ingredient. So, it's the hero ingredient.
It's the hero. It's the hero. Steve, put it on your face. Not too much. Start small.
Yes.
Should we do a before and after for Steve? Take a photo now, Steve, and then 7 weeks into your Seventh Heaven skincare routine.
That assumes that he's going to win. He might not win. okay, and that's it, I think.
Okay.
We have exhausted the enjoyment potential of
And
this.
I have to run away anyway. So that's perfect timing, Lucy.
So this week is a tribute. This week's music is a tribute from Matt to... a composer called Laurie Johnson, who, do you remember all that? You know when you're watching a 70s drama show and you know it's a 70s drama show, or you know it's a Bond film from the 70s because it's got, or an adventure film, because it's got that kind of really Austin Powersy soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
And that means that it was usually composed by Laurie Johnson.
Oh, right.
And he also composed the Avengers theme tune. The new Avengers. So Matt has rearranged the Avengers into the Archers.
Amazing.
So we will play out with that. You run away and do what you need to do.
I'll run away.
I will go and check up my friend and make sure she hasn't starved to death.
Oh, we didn't hear Anne.
No, I know. She's drinking
Well, give her my love.
Room, I think I will.
Give her my love.
I will.
Thanks, Lucy. Thanks for having us. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yes.
And please share, rate, subscribe.
Yes.
5-star,
us, not the Archers. We don't care about them. Us.
We do care about them, you see.
Yes, we do.
We do care very,
very
much.
Very much. Very, very much. Okay, ready?
Okay, yeah, can't
wait.
Bye.